Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're going to be in Acts 19, verses 1 through 10 tonight. But let me kind of introduce the message as we move through the passage. I was at our Cumberland Baptist Association, our annual meeting here last month. And every church, I think there's 46 Cumberland Baptist Association churches. And Brother Rick Stevens is our director of missions. And all the churches are supposed to send in these annual church profiles. And it has all your numbers and all of that. And I think I told you all a little bit of that. You know, we wound up fifth in baptisms. We wound up like, I don't know, seventh or eighth in receipts. You know, total receipts for the year. I mean, it was amazing to be, you know, 19 months old, 20 months old, and to see what God did. But I will tell you, there was a statistic on that annual church profile that stopped me in my tracks. Over 20 of our churches baptized no one last year. Out of 46, 20 baptized no one last year. And I'm not saying that to fuss at them, because there was a few others that just baptized one. But at least they got one, right? Because it made a difference to that one. Right? And so I began to ask myself this question. What is wrong that we would have 86% of the people that live here don't have a church home, that probably don't have a relationship with Christ, and yet 20 of our churches don't see anybody saved and baptized in the year? What is wrong? I want to tell you, something's missing. Something's missing. And I want to submit to you, what's missing is what we're going to talk about tonight with a lot of our churches, with a lot of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay? So if you have a Bible, Acts 19, let me just read the first 10 verses here for us. Yeah, books have been written about this. Scholars have been talking about it for years. People go from church to church looking for it. Churches start new programs and ministries trying to recover it. But something is missing in the average church. What is it? And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Now, Paul's on a missionary journey. You know, he took three of them. In the book of Acts, and so he's on one of these missionary journeys, and he has just completed his work in Corinth, and now he has come and wound up in Ephesus, the great city of Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for how long? 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some of them were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way, capital W, before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Dick Littleton, ask God, would you, brother, to just bless, take his word tonight and bless it to our hearts. Yes. Amen. John 15:26, the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit is what? To give testimony of Jesus. To testify about the Lord. And so, if someone is full of the Holy Spirit, the life of that believer is going to be about testifying of Christ, because that's the divine purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's well, let's just flip over to John. Just take a look at this. John 15:26. If you're there, say amen. Just turn left from Acts 19. All right. John 15:26. But when the Helper, who is that? The Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. That's the primary purpose of the sending and the giving and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, to testify of Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And so anyone, any individual, any church who is filled by the Holy Spirit of God on a regular basis is going to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many baptisms did we have? Are y'all with me now? It's hitting close to home. How many people have you shared your faith with this week? You see where we're going with this? We've got to be filled by the Spirit of God every day, on a daily basis. The command from Scripture is that we would be filled by the Spirit of God. There's no command to be baptized by the Spirit. The Spirit just does that at the moment of salvation. We talked about that weeks ago. So that kind of gets us up to snuff on where we are tonight. And Acts chapter 19 reveals, I think that's what's missed, that's what was missing with these disciples in Ephesus. And that's what's missing in a lot of our churches and in a lot of our individual lives today, is the presence and the power, really, of the Holy Spirit. And so Acts 19 reveals how to attain what's missing. Look at your neighbor and say, oh boy, I'm going to get it. And it's not an it, it's a him. Right? Okay. So let's first of all, in these first four verses, let's just unpack this paragraph of Scripture tonight. Let's look at the circumstances surrounding the Ephesians. Now, again, Paul is on a missionary journey. And you remember a few weeks ago, I think it was on Sunday morning, we looked at how the Holy Spirit bid Paul not to go into Macedonia. Remember that? And he was wanting to go up, you know, but the Holy Spirit stopped him. Well, eventually, the Spirit of God did allow him to come back to Asia Minor. And so he's winding back. Now he's where? In Ephesus. He's just left Corinth, and now he's ministering and sharing the gospel in Ephesus. And when he arrives there, he meets these disciples, these 12 disciples, and something was missing, obviously. He saw no evidence of a Spirit-filled life in these believers. And did you notice the question that he asked? What's the question that he asked? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, not since you believed? Y'all, that's key right there. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He didn't ask, now have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? You see, you received the Holy Spirit He baptizes you into this mystical, magical body of Christ at the moment of salvation. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. And you get all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get at that point. You see, the question is, how much of the Holy Spirit do... Hello? You've got all of Him you're ever going to get. But has He got all of you that He wants? See, there are times in our life, and how many? That's what spiritual growth's all about, right? And so he noticed that the Spirit of God was missing here. These disciples didn't have what they needed. They weren't Spirit-filled. And so Paul asked them, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? And, you know, John 3, well, let's just look at just a few verses because I need to set the table here. Look at John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. John 3, verses 5 and 6. When you get there, say amen. Well, y'all are fast up front here. Okay. John 3, 5 and 6. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So you've got to be born of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's the one who gives the new birth, right? Now turn on over to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. We're building a bridge here, all right? Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not, Romans 8 verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In other words, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And so that's pretty clear, isn't it? If you're a born again believer, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in you. You have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Spirit of God. Whoo, isn't that wonderful? That's an amazing truth tonight, y'all. I mean, that is an astounding statement. You've got the Spirit of Almighty God in you. You're not God, but you have His Spirit. And then turn to John 7. John 7. Go back to John's Gospel. And so, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you haven't been born again. But now look what the Lord says here in John chapter 7 and verse 39. John 7 and verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, capital S, whom those believing in him would. What tense is that? Past? Present? Okay. Would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet what? Given. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so John 7:39 makes it real plain that you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe on Christ. And so the answer that these gentlemen gave to the Apostle Paul revealed that they were missing out on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. They were not Spirit-filled believers yet. They were impotent. They had no spiritual power. And I want to tell you, if you're not plugged in to the power source, some of the most frustrated, defeated, miserable people I know are Christians who are not filled by the Spirit of God on a regular basis. Trying to live the Christian life in their own strength. And I want to tell you, the Christian life is impossible to live in our human strength. It can't be done. But oh, Jesus can do it. And He can live in you, for you, and through you. Some of you, and I thank you all, as I'm thinking about that associational church profile, those reports that our churches sent in, all of those churches had facilities. Some of them really great facilities. all of those churches had sound systems. Some of them had vans and buses. All of them had Sunday school and training programs and discipleship, up-to-date, current musicians, educated pastors, and organized, and yet didn't baptize anybody. Impotent, weak. You know, I think, and I can't use the word most, but a lot of our churches are operating outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. And they can just continue on doing what they've always done, even if the Holy Spirit weren't there, because they're ministering and doing things in their power. Am I starting to get through to you? And so I think that's the biggest problem with the church here in Montgomery County is, and you know, even worse, do you remember when Samson lost his power? You remember that story? And when he woke up, he didn't even know that he had lost the power that he had. Judges 16, verse 20. And sometimes I wonder, do our churches even understand what the Spirit-filled life is all about? And we wonder where our power is. And you know, the Bible, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us life and gives us direction and gives us what we need to reach our communities. And Zechariah 4, 6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." How many of you have ever walked in to a Spirit-filled, Victory Thrill, Bible Drill church? Two of you. Three of you. Four of you. I'm hoping this is a Spirit-filled church. Of course, it could be like, you know, the old saying, "Oh, we've got a friendly church." And then you walk in and nobody even says hi. Andrew and his wife were telling me that last week at lunch. They were saying, "We, you know, everybody says they've got a friendly church, and you walk in and they're not friendly." And so, oh, that we might be a Spirit-filled church on a regular basis. And so they're impotent, and these disciples from Ephesus were incomplete. Did you catch this? Let's go back to Acts 19. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We've not even heard." "We've not even heard of the Holy Spirit." I could just drop right off right there and go on with that for a little while, but I won't. And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Now, that is a reference when John the Baptist was preaching out there on the banks of the Dead Sea. And those of you that are going to Israel with us, man, you're going to see where John was preaching in some of the most unbelievable spots on planet Earth. But when John's message was received, the outward sign that change had taken place on the inside was baptism. He was preaching repentance. Okay? Isn't that what Paul's saying here? He said, "Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Turn to Matthew 3:11. This will make more sense for you. Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." This is John the Baptist. "But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He," who's he talking about? "Will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, but that alone is incomplete. You know, I like to call salvation the two-sided coin is one of repentance and faith. Repentance, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And so repentance has to take place. But you know how cool God is? He even supplies the godly sorrow that you need. He's the one that puts us under conviction. Do you remember when you first got saved? Man, I mean, weren't you under conviction about your sin? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And then He also gives us the faith that we need to be saved. Faith in what? Faith alone? Faith in Christ and Christ alone and His finished work. And so that's what salvation is. And so that's what they're touching on, the biblical writers here, as we come to Matthew 4:11. But these disciples knew that one day the Holy Spirit would baptize God's people, but they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And so John's baptism was pointing to the one that was coming. Christian baptism points back to the one who's come. Does that make sense? And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit baptism here. Not talking about water baptism. Okay? When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God placed you under conviction, gave you the faith that you, and when you trusted Christ, right then, immediately, you were regenerated. You were given a new heart, and you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And now, what a beautiful body. Some of y'all, I say these silly things just to make sure y'all are listening. But so Paul tells these folks, now notice what Paul tells them in Acts 19. Notice what he tells them. He says, verse 4, saying to the people that they should believe on Him who would come after Him. That is, on Christ Jesus. So Paul's telling these folks they need the Lord Jesus, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, although that's what the Spirit does, right? He said, man, y'all need Jesus here. And so that's the circumstances surrounding this powerful story of the missing element, the missing ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the supply of the Holy Spirit that's now given to the Ephesians. Look at verse 5 again. When they heard this, now who is they? Hadn't you always wanted to know who they is? Well, they is these 12 Ephesian disciples. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, here's this Holy Spirit baptism that takes place. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. When the disciples heard the truth, they received Christ and Him alone by faith. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit did what? Came upon them. And they were then supplied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now I know what y'all are thinking right now. Now in the book of Acts, okay, things are just getting rolling. The Holy Spirit is moving and grooving. I mean, there's tremendous things going on in the book of Acts. And the Holy Spirit's indwelling power came upon new believers. And sometimes people who had already professed in Christ. But you remember at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit baptized those believers in the upper room at Pentecost. You remember that? And then he baptized and he was given to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius after Peter had finished preaching. You remember that? Okay. And then he'd fallen upon the Samaritans when Peter and John laid hands on them. And now Paul has laid hands on these Ephesian elders, these Ephesian disciples, and the Holy Spirit has now baptized everybody. Folks have come into full faith in Christ now. Every group have been baptized in and by the Holy Spirit. And the laying on of hands, what's that all about? Well, that's symbolic that everyone now, Jews, Gentiles, and even the Samaritans, had been accepted into the fellowship of the church. And all who now believed in Christ and Christ alone were one in Him. And best of all, they now had the power. And from this point in time on, anytime someone is saved, immediately they are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And that's the way it's still happening today. The Holy Spirit had now come on every group, Jews,
Gentiles, Samaritans, everyone. The Holy Spirit had baptized everyone. And so the supply of the Spirit had been given them. And so you... How do I explain this? In every crowd and in every congregation, there's at least three kinds of folks. I thought you said there was two, the saints and the ain'ts. Well, in every crowd, in every church congregation, there's three types of folks. There are those in the congregation that have been saved, and they are living the Spirit-filled life. They're saying, you know, they're with. I could tell it this morning. Not always, but boy, you can just tell when somebody's on the same page you're on, right? And they're nodding and they're understanding and they're just filled by the Spirit of God. And I'm not talking about somebody who's over the top emotional, all right? Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit does make somebody emotional. I've told y'all about sitting behind David Fry at Woodlawn. I mean, he got so tore up and excited, I thought, let's go run somewhere, David. And he and I, neither one can run anymore. So, I'm not just talking about emotions. I'm talking about being filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And Spirit-filled believers act a little bit different from other people. Right? Okay, so you've got that crowd in the congregation, and they've got the power, they've got the supply of the Spirit. Then there's another group in every church congregation and church meeting and crowd. You've got another group in there, and they're not saved. Oh, they may have their name on the roll. They may have their name on the... On the church roll, but their name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm reading a book now just came out this year by Dean and Sarah. It's called The Unsaved Christian. We live in a time of what we call cultural Christianity. And anyways, I don't have time to get into all that, but you've got a group in every church who claim to be saved. But when you start looking at their fruit, you say, well, Brother Cal, you're not supposed to judge. Jesus said you can know whether a tree's bearing good fruit or bad fruit. We're fruit inspectors. Don't I look kind of fruity tonight? I mean, you know, yeah. And so you can know whether someone's bearing fruit, good fruit or bad fruit. And so you've always got lost people in every church service. Every church service. And then you've got another group. This is the third group that I wanted to get to. You've got another group in every worship service and every church service, and they're saved, but they're what I call babes in Christ. They've never grown spiritually. Anytime the power of God is exhibited, they get, you know, kind of weary and kind of, oh, what's that? And they get scared they have not quite yet yielded their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They've not opened every door and corner of their heart to the Lord's working. They're not yielded and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? And that's what we're talking about tonight. And of course, if you're not experiencing all that God wants you to have tonight, maybe this is your deal. Surrendering wholly and completely and totally to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God loves us. Can we figure this out tonight? God loves us, and He's got a better plan for us than we do. He's got a better plan for Cal Hampton than Cal Hampton does. You see, God's got all the pieces of the puzzle. He's infinite. We're finite. My knowledge is limited. God's knowledge is unlimited. And He's able to use all that knowledge. That's why He's God and I'm not. And so I better get in on His plan. And to get in on His plan, I've got to be under the control. I've got to be filled by the Spirit of God on a regular basis. Are y'all with me? And so these Ephesian disciples now had the supply of the Spirit. And from this point in time on in the Scriptures, All throughout your New Testament, anytime somebody comes to faith in Christ, they're immediately baptized by the Spirit of Almighty God. They're saved, they're regenerated, they're full-fledged believers, okay? Now, let's look at the strength flowing through the Ephesians. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue. Now, who is he? That's right. Paul went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. You know, when Paul first, on his missionary journeys, whenever he got to town, where did he go first? Why? He's after his Jewish brethren. You know, God had chosen them to be his representatives, his ambassadors to a lost and dying world. But as you heard about so wonderfully this morning from our Bible study leader, it's always been in God's plan that the Gentile nations would come to faith in Christ. Wasn't that a wonderful study this morning? And so, if you didn't get that this morning, get on the podcast and hear what Billy had to say. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. And so, the result of the Holy Spirit's His coming was both praise and proclamation. Now, I kind of ran past this. But the primary reason, immediately when the Holy Spirit was always given in the early days of the book of Acts, what was the result? What were the people doing? They were baptized by the Spirit, and they were speaking in tongues. And we Baptists get all tore up about that. There's no need to get all tore up about that. Tongues is simply a spiritual gift that God gives to people today. But back in the day, tongues were a sign that the Holy Spirit had been given, but others could hear the gospel in their language. I think that's the primary reason in those days that the Holy Spirit fell and they began to speak in other tongues, so that I could hear the gospel in my mother tongue. That's what happened at Pentecost. And so, any time that the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer, the result will always be praise and proclamation. Reasoning, persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God, verse 9, but when some were hardened and didn't believe, they spoke evil of the way. Before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all, I like this, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And so when the Holy Spirit does what he's supposed to do and he's allowed to take control of a believer's life, they immediately began to witness of him, of Christ. What does Acts 1:8 say? But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of Clarksville, uttermost parts of the world. You see, if you are filled by the Spirit of Almighty God, the result of that is always going to be praise and proclamation. People around you are going to hear about Jesus. You're going to be His witness. And I think that, more than anything else, is the reason we've got our tongues tied when it comes to sharing the gospel with people. Because we're not full of the Spirit of God like we should be. Because that's what the Word says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in order to be my witnesses everywhere you go. That's the deal. And so when I think about those churches that didn't baptize anybody, when I think about our church and whether or not we're witnessing on a regular basis, remember, the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. And if you've got Him, you can't shut up about it. Right? Do we believe the Word? That's what the Word says. And so we're not tuned in to the Spirit of God like we need to be. And We desperately need the strength of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to reach Clarksville, if we're going to reach Montgomery County, if we're going to reach the state of Tennessee, if we're going to reach North America, if we're going to reach the ends of the earth with the gospel, we have got to be under the influence of the Spirit of Almighty God. We have to have His power. We have to have His strength. I wonder what would happen if everyone in the church here at Second Mile today was yielded to the power and the control of the Spirit of Almighty God. What would happen? What'd you say, Barbara? Growth like mad. What else would happen? Not any telling. Isn't this what we need? Hello? That's what we're missing. There would be an explosion in this town if we were to be filled by the Spirit of God and start living the Spirit-filled life. Because, you know, here, what does it say? Everyone who dwelt in Asia Minor. Remember those seven cities in the book of Revelation? Every one of them heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because those that had believed were baptized by the Spirit of God, and they just all had a bad case of, I can't help it. Hey, could I tell you about someone that I just hadn't ever been able to get over? I've met him, and he's changed my life, and I've got everything that I need today, and he's given me everything that I need today. Can I tell you about him? You know what most people want? Oh, yeah, they want that too. See? We've got what they need. And the Spirit of God will lead a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. This is what I love about raising a son at my stage of the game. Back when we had the Jesus rally, I think I've told you all this story. And that's part of being 63. I tell the same thing to the same people time and time again. But this boy of mine, the night Philip Chambers was preaching, on the Jesus rally. He stopped and just kind of plowed corn real deep two or three times that night about evangelism and witnessing and that kind of thing and sharing your faith with your friends and your neighbors. And boy, my son hit the altar during the altar call. And I'm thinking, oh goodness, he's wanting to get saved again. And so Susan, my sister, was one of the counselors, and she took him downstairs and began to counsel with him. And she came back upstairs with him, and he's kind of teary-eyed, and she said, Cal, he's just under conviction about not sharing his faith. And I want to tell you, he knows more gospel verses now than you can shake a stick at. He is loaded for bear. He's got John 3:16. He's got Romans 3:23. He's got Romans 6:23. He's got Romans 5:8. He's got Romans 10:9 and 10. He's got Ephesians 2:8 and 9. He's got Galatians 2:20 and on and on and on. He's loaded. He's ready. And so we're on the way to school one day before Thanksgiving. I said, son, and he just finished quoting all of them on the way to school. I said, son, just go ahead and shoot the gun. Just go ahead and fire. You're ready. You're filled by the Spirit of God. You've got His power. You've got His strength. And so I don't know what God's going to do with my boy, but I'm just as concerned, what is God going to do with my brothers and sisters? We can get this thing done if we'll allow the Spirit to do what only He can do. What's missing in your life? What's missing in your family? I don't know about you, but I want to have what the church in the New Testament had. I want us to be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Can we pray together? Jim, would you just play something on the keyboard, just anything? Father, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, I don't know who is and who isn't. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life, is only given by you. As a matter of fact, if we don't have the Spirit, we're not one of yours. But once we're given your Spirit, and we yield to your Lordship, and we surrender to your work and your will and your way, God, we become your witnesses. Everyone in the New Testament that was Spirit-filled was a witness. I don't know what we're missing out on, but God, would you fill us tonight with your Spirit? Would you put people on our heart and make us brand new? Would you help us to be bold in our witness, not obnoxious, but loving and bold? And would you line them up tomorrow for us to be a witness for your glory? Lord, I so look forward to hearing words like this in heaven. Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Because of your testimony and your willingness to share, I'm in heaven today. Oh, Lord, don't let us miss any more opportunities. Help us to be a witness. The saving's up to you. All of that's up to you, Lord. Our part is just to be a witness. Whether we're at the doctor's office, whether we're at the grocery store, whether we're at the bank, whether we're at the lawyer's office, whether we're, no matter where we are, our part is just to be your witness. God, would you fill us with your Spirit tonight? Let's just let this be a season of prayer. If you need to pray, pray right where you are. Or this altar's open. I'll be glad to pray with you. Whatever you need, just let God do what he wants to do here right now. Pray for me that I'd begin the Spirit-filled life. If that'd be your testimony tonight, I thank you, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes. See your hand? Yes, see your hand. Brother Cal, I need to live by the Spirit of Almighty God. Anybody else? Need to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Need to surrender and yield to Him every area of my life. Anybody else? Hallelujah. See your hands, ladies. I want to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, you've seen those hands of faith go up in the room. But Lord, you're bigger than that. You're looking at our heart. And give us the hearts that we need. You've got a better plan for our lives than we do. You've got people that we need to be sharing with. We need to be your witnesses. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Father. Give us that calm assurance and that peace and that Holy Ghost boldness to my brothers and my sisters that need what we need to be your witnesses, to testify of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done here tonight. In Jesus' great big name we pray. All God's children said, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.